Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Like always, I always say God is moving by the Holy Spirit. And he's always in motion. One time the Lord said, I'm looking for people I can bless. And he said that after I sinned. You know, I felt terrible by what I had done. And he said, I'm looking for people I can bless. And, you know, I'll never forget that. You know, that was right after I went to Jim McGill Chevrolet. He told me that years ago in 84. And he's looking for people he can bless. If a person does something wrong, it hinders everything. And God is looking for people he can bless. Now, that clued me in on something. God is always in motion, looking for people he can bless. So, and recently I said that God is involved with a great revival right now. Because he didn't stop. Just because people stop going forward, God is still going forward. He don't stop moving just because you stop moving. And even when I asked the Lord about his creation, you know, I'm a very curious person. God made me that way. I am a mechanic, and I'm probably a mechanic because I like to know how things work and why they work. And my mother said that when I was a child, if a tractor went down the street, I would look out the window at that tractor till it left out of my sight. And I don't know. If I take something apart, I can put it back together. God gave me that ability. But I was also very curious as I began to be in after I began elementary school. I wanted to know how things got to the point that it did. And I'm a child, and I had all these questions. God put that in me. And so in the early 90s, after I started dialoguing with the Lord, what I mean by dialoguing, I mean I'd talk and he'd answer me. And that happened after I started studying, you know, like I talk about in the broadcast sometimes. If you fill your heart with his word, it's easy to commune with God. Now, I've done everything, I started with worship. Worship will take you to his presence, but if you don't know him, if your heart's not full of the word, all you're going to do is faint. And you don't want to leave because it's so refreshing to live in his presence. And I learned to go in his presence because I happened to go to a church that loved worship. And people will come from all around, you know, other churches that fellowship. They love that worship. And I had never seen anything like it. Now, my dad preached a revival before. And my dad preached he was a Methodist man, but he preached like a Pentecostal sometimes. And he was running a revival. And that was a guy my age in the choir. That guy got happy and he just fell out and they had to fan him. I'm like, what's wrong with him? I didn't know what he felt because he had dedicated his life to Jesus. And he felt the Holy Spirit's presence. And I didn't because I didn't dedicate my life to Jesus yet. I had a love for God, but it wasn't a relationship yet. So after I got saved at the age of 19, and I met Mom Power, she was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And I thought everybody in the Pentecostal church was like Mom Power. Well, some of them were, but not all, but some of them were full of the Holy Ghost. And some of them were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I put it that way. And that was some sweet people at the church I went to that just loved God. And Greg Hosey used to love to pray. He prayed for hours every day. He'd fast and pray. One time he went on a 2-week fast. and he was hungry, but he did it. And he kept on pushing through. And then his dad said, well, the booger made it. And he laughed about that, you know. But his dad was a very wonderful man of God as well. But you got to have fun. You know, his daddy was, he cracked jokes, but he was a wonderful man of God, very loving. Well, anyway, Greg used to usher the church into worship. And he learned to do that from Elder Lewis, and Elder Lewis used to do it too. But when you got to preach, you know, you're focusing on your message. So he taught Greg, and Greg would usher us into worship. And it was wonderful. Well, I would go home and worship God and go into his prayer. I wanted to know some things. I wanted to learn from the Lord. But years went by. And in 1990, October of that year, the Lord told me to study the word 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. And after about 3 months of being faithful there, he started, I went in his presence one night, and I noticed him. I said, Jesus, don't go nowhere. I got questions. I finally had the stamina to ask the questions that I always wanted to ask when I would go in his presence. I remember Kenneth Copeland said, people always talk about when they go in his presence, they're going to ask him all these questions, but they never get a chance to. Well, that's because the word, you got to fill your heart with the word in order to do that. And I found out that you can dialogue with the Lord. So one of the first things I asked the Lord was about his creation. A prophet I knew asked him first. He said, Lord, is there life on other planets? And the Lord said, yes, but they're not like you. And so I was curious too. So when I went in his presence, I asked him my questions. And out of that, a while later, I said, I want you to teach me about creation. I want you to show me visions and show me what's out there. And he said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. He didn't upbraid me for asking for wisdom, just like James said in chapter 1. He said, he commended me. He said, it honored me that you asked me about my creation. And he started teaching me some things. But before he showed me anything, he said something one day. I was listening to the radio working on Mr. Austin's car. And I think that's when he had that Yugo. And he said, the man on the radio, Mark Congleton, was on WDJC in Birmingham at that time. And he said, the scientists say that the universe is still expanding. Glory to God. And time he said that, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm still making planets and people. I dropped my wrench. I dropped my air wrench. And when I reached down to pick it up, before time the Lord spoke that, he gave me Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, the parable of the fig tree. And he gave me insight when he did that. And I was in wonder. You know, most people would say, well, you don't ask God questions like that. Well, the religious mind and the mind of Christ can be two different things. Sometimes just because other people don't ask don't mean that you can do what they're doing. You go to God like you want to and ask him what you want to. And he'll give you wisdom. And I found out if you keep doing that, you'll keep learning. So Jesus said, here it is. Mark chapter 4. He said that the fig tree is the greatest herb. It's the smallest seed, but it becomes the greatest herb. And the fowl of the air can lodge in the shadow of it. And when he said this, it made me think. I said, Lord, he said that he still creates planets and people. So he didn't stop just because Satan went rogue. God is still moving forward, doing things. And he's dealing with the earth while he's still doing greater things. And it showed me something about him. He don't stop just because a disaster happens, like Satan. Satan is a disaster. And just because he went rogue, that didn't stop God from going forward. And we shouldn't stop either. Just because disaster happens around us, our relationship with God can still go forward. And I've learned some of the greatest things in pain. In my life was in pain because of what was happening. And I just kept growing. And I kept going forward. And I kept learning while disaster was forming all around me. And, you know, I had my business. I had to go to God and learn how to make money while I needed money, while I was in debt. I had to learn how to love people while they were hindering me from making money, while they were making my life harder than it had to be. You know, that's how I learned from the Lord. Nothing was right. You know, I don't want to embarrass people, but there were things that was done that shouldn't have been done. But the Lord taught me to love them anyway. And I did. And I didn't understand why things were going like they were going. But as I continued with God, I learned. You learn greater things. That's how it is. So God is always in motion doing things. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So God makes a habitation, and he creates people that can enjoy it. The Lord didn't stop doing what he does because man can't make up his mind. And he didn't stop teaching me when I asked questions, when people didn't want to know him. And I was around people that were not trying to learn who he was. And some of them caught on and they came to the Lord. And, you know, you win souls as you go. But the people around you don't always understand what you understand or what you learn. And when you tell them about it, their responses vary. If they don't believe, then they think what you're doing is stupid. They think that the devil will tell them, "Well, you think you're better than us." I've heard that a lot. No, it's just I'm learning some things about the Lord. But if you love sin, you don't have that same desire and passion to know God. If you're frustrated, see, the word is sown in peace. If you're not growing as a person, it's almost impossible to value things of light. If you love anything in the darkness, even if you want to be angry, people that's angry, that poisonous anger I've seen it so many times, it can hinder people from desiring the love of God. They want to be angry and they want justice on their terms. And they want to be angry. They want to fight. They'd rather fight. It takes the strength of God to walk according to his word. So God don't change who he is because people change who they are. Or they become estranged to the life of God. God continues to move. You love God. You draw near. You want to be a blessing. That's good. That came from the Holy Spirit. Straight from the Holy Ghost to you. And you've been around him and you want to know him. And that's admirable. That's wonderful. So you look around the wide world and people are doing whatever. They're frustrated. They're doing sin. They want to do sin. They're trying to do more of it. And they gravitate to it. And then the devil will say, well, what's the hope? Well, there are people out there just like you. They want to know God. They're praying prayers like, Lord, if you're real, show me. And they heard about him. But they never got the word in their heart to where they respond. But they got just enough sense to say, Lord, if you're real, show me something. And the Lord will lead you to people like that. And sometimes when he want to give people, see, God does things in order. The kingdom of darkness has no foundation. It has no structure. It has no rules. It does whatever it wants when it wants, and it doesn't consider consequence. But because God's kingdom exists, God's kingdom is built on principle. God don't do anything. His doctrine is different. He lives by the order and the protocols of love. And the word of God is the knowledge of love. Love has knowledge. Love is not stupid. Love is very brilliant. The word of God is the knowledge of love. The words of God is the wisdom of love. I mean, do what God said do. His counsel is because of love. All the counsel that God gives us, it's from his love. It's from his treasure trove of love. So when you're learning those kind of things, it's easy for you to live far above the snake lines when there are so many snakes all around you. You're just living above what they're doing. And even though you're in the mix, even though you're in the world, it's not a part of you. And you have the joy and the peace to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And no matter what they do, say, speak, the power of God is with you, and you're surrounded by angels. We are weaponized. I don't see myself as a person without weapons. I'm not a sitting duck. I am thoroughly weaponized all the time, and I don't even carry a gun. And I do carry a razor knife, and I use it as a tool. I lived in a place where I had to fight spiritually. And anybody can do this if you receive the revelation. And I had to, whenever the enemy called somebody to start a fight, I say, Satan, stop it in Jesus' name. And they had to stop. Now, the Lord trained me and the word told me I could do this, to tread on serpents and scorpions. But even though things were falling around in my life, I was still steadily going forward, learning and learning how to prosper, learning how to come out of darkness. And even though I had troubles, I was always able to give. I was always able to pay tithes and do things that I had to do. And God gave me great, he blessed me. He helped me to contribute, to do the ministries that I did. And I wasn't rich. I was a working guy. I didn't have extra. But I was able to do those writings and do the good newsletter. And I didn't charge people. And people didn't give me money either. But people did help me do it. But God blessed me. Everything I learned in times of crisis. But it got better and better and better. I began to make better and better decisions, and I grew. So when I made that vow to God, I told him I do whatever he say. And times that I would not have obeyed him, I had to obey him because I made the vow. But this is the thing. I'm not such a hero because I didn't just do everything God said do because I was some kind of hero. I was scared. I was timid. I was apprehensive, just like anybody else would be. But since I made the vow, I made myself obey him, and I learned that if you continually obey God, you put yourself in a position to learn things that other people are not learning. In other words, you're putting yourself in a position to learn things that's going to, you're going to learn how God thinks on a greater level. You're going to receive greater glories. I don't like the word level as much as I like the word glory. We grow from glory to glory. And from every standpoint of the next glory, you see things in a broader way. You see further, and you see more like God does. You love people more like God does. You're more understanding. You're more considerate. You see more options that are already there. Now, I'm going to put it this way too, since I said that. From every time I grow in the Lord from glory to glory, I see greater and greater options. And they were there all along. But I didn't have the training, and I didn't have the, I didn't know it. But as I grow in Him, as I watch Him, as I conduct myself like Him, as I'm obedient to Him, I see greater and greater options and for greater and greater opportunities. And there are opportunities that I do not see. But if I keep going forward in Him, I'm going to see even greater and greater opportunities. So, I said, there are things God wants to do, and I may not be able to be on board right now. And I said, that's a problem, because He's about to return, and ever since 2016, He's been dealing with me about the rapture and about the fact that He's going to return. And some people will say, well, He hadn't returned yet, so you must be wrong. No, God is very merciful, and it takes people a long time to get on board. So what's 4 years? I mean, 4 or 5 years. But if you're going to turn the ship in a wide ocean, you got to begin to turn it, and it'll begin to turn. So since 2016, every radio broadcast has been going forward warning people that the rapture is soon to be. So I know for a fact, I'm getting frontline information that the King is coming. And Jesus is coming as a King. And He's going to take His people off the earth so He can judge the earth, the wicked. He don't want to judge His people with the wicked. Now people debate when He's coming, whether it'll be soon as He come back. Some people believe that. Some people believe He's going to rapture the church and we'll have a great tribulation. I was taught that way. It doesn't matter to me. I rest in this. However He does it is the best way it'll be done. And I want, my greatest desire is that He'll do it to where there'll be more people warned to Him. And whatever I have to go through or whatever I have to suffer, I'm used to it anyway. I'll deal with that when it happens. I want to stand as long as I live. However, you know, I enjoy God. And I know that there are people out there just like me that would love to know Him. Now, how would I feel if Jesus raptured me and then they don't make it? When if He would have used me in a greater way, they may have made it. I want us all to go. We're going to go to heaven. It's already done. We're going to do that. We're going to enjoy time forever. But now I'm on the stage. I'm on the earth. With the knowledge that God is here with me, that I'm surrounded by angels, and God can give me a work and anoint me and cause my voice to go where I can't. And He can reach people, and I can do it from the comfort of my own home. So I thought I would have to travel in ministry. And it didn't matter to me how, you know, whatever I have to do, I want to do it. So I said, what can I do to get on board with whatever God wants to do? I started being clued in that every time that He gave me something new to do, He was always preparing me for it. Every stage I thought, well, this is where I'll be for a while. Then he adds to it. See, if God gives you something to do and then He's always tweaking it, always adding to it, always giving you more to do. He's going somewhere. So I said, I don't want to do anything to hinder the process. I want to speed it up. So my options were these. I got to pay attention to him. If I look at him, if I focus on him, I can do whatever he wants me to do. He can work through me if I yield myself. And see, through obedience, he can prosper me better, to be a blessing better. Not just in finances, but the knowledge and wisdom that he'll give me. If I'm faithful with what he say do, he always have given me more. So if I can multiply by faithfulness, which is a poem, a writing that he gave me years ago, there's a way to do this. And he can cause me to, he said, Jesus promised us that if you bear fruit, he'll purge you that you can bear more fruit. So I pray for that. A few years ago, I started saying with my mouth, everything that's not like God got to go. I don't want any attachments that's holding me back from the next glory. I want everything that I do to be light, and I want it to be something that God can put his stamp of approval on. I want everything that I do to be godly, and I want all of my actions and persuasions, advice and counsel and everything that I do to be of him. I want to be appropriate to people. I want to love his people just like he does, just like Jesus loved me. That's my standard. The standard is always Jesus, not my predecessors, not the men and women of God that have helped me grow, not even my power. My standard is Jesus. They helped me get to that point. Whatever I do, I'm still standing on their shoulders. They helped me to come to this point. But if I focus on Jesus, I learn by receiving revelation that if you look to him, he can cause you to do and say things that he need you to do and say. But he has to build on a loving foundation. And God never did anything, and I touched on this yesterday's broadcast, he never did anything with corruption in it. Gideon had to turn over his father's idols. David had to kill the giant. How can you be king and you letting that giant live? That's harassing Israel. The anointing on him and the love he had for God stirred him up. He loved God and he hated darkness, and he killed the giant. The only way to be a warrior, you got to learn to surrender to God first. You cannot be a warrior for God unless you surrender to him first. He's got to be first and foremost in your life, and it's got to be true. Your love has to be unfeigned. You can't love people with a fake smile. You got to have a real smile, a real genuine love in your countenance, in your ways, your devotions to people. You got to really care about God's heritage. And when that's in place, and you're not a peeping Tom, when you're on your keyboard and on your computer and things pop up, you shun the things that's wrong. You have integrity. You know, and you do things the right way. You do things by the protocols God give you in his word. You live according to the, if I can't expect the anointing of God to increase on my life and I'm cheating people or having strife against people. All those things got to go. I can't afford to get in strife with anybody, and I don't want to. Then sometime the Lord will have you to rebuke people. Some of the writings that he gave me, I had to rebuke people. I had to say what God said and mean it. I couldn't just, everything, every message from the Holy Spirit is not what, it's not always pleasing. It's not always what man would want. You got to speak God's word like it is. And you got to tell the truth in love. That's a standard. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, with that being said, to get on board with him, there are things that I may not process or understand, or I might overlook. So I count on the Holy Spirit to help. help me be appropriate in Him. And I pay attention so that whatever He wants to do, I'll be on board with Him. I don't want to mess anything up. So I have some fail safes. One of them is everything that's not like God got to go. Everything of Satan got to go. If it's not like Jesus, it's got to go. Movies, songs, anything that's not of God got to go. And sometimes the movies you like may have something that you know shouldn't be. But like a war movie, you know, people are going to get killed. But it helps you to see what it costs to have freedom. You know, you have to use judgment. But the liking the evil and desiring evil, that's got to go.